Okay, good evening, everybody. So two shilas for this week. First shila, I got an email actually today from someone who teaches in what we'll call a modern Orthodox elementary and middle school. And apparently there is a girl from a conservative background who requested that she be allowed to put on tefillin in school just like she does at home. So the principal said, yes, she can. And he informed all of the teachers that this is a matter of kavod abrios, and we should allow someone to express their Judaism and their human dignity in the way that they see fit. So that in 2019 we should be so blessed that these are the tzaros that a child causes, that they want to do a mitzvah, if anyone has issues with it, they can come speak privately. So the fellow wanted to know, is this something that he should go speak privately with the principal about? That is shaila number one. Shaila number two. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. I don't know that their names are Reuven and Shimon, but I don't know their actual names, so we're going to go with Reuven and Shimon because that's the names you're supposed to go with when you're talking about brothers. Sadly, Shimon is no longer religious. Shimon would never have thought, though, of marrying a non-Jew, even though he doesn't really care, because he just knows that it will tear his family apart, that his parents are likely not going to forgive him. However, recently, something changed. Recently, Shimon has impregnated Vanessa, a non-Jewish woman. So even though normally he would never marry a non-Jew, his sense of morality tells him that he should marry her because it's just the right thing to do. She's carrying his child, so it's the right thing to do. Okay, I mean, not okay, but so far we understand. So Reuven knows Vanessa a little bit, and Reuven again is the religious brother, he thinks that he might be able to prevail on her to have an abortion. And if she has an abortion, Shimon won't feel the same sense of achrayus to feel like he has to marry her. So Reuven wants to know, is he allowed to encourage Vanessa to have an abortion so that his brother Shimon would be much, much less likely to marry her? He would thereby prevent intermarriage. So that is shaila number two. I have to confess, shaila number two is not a shaila that was asked to me, nor should it be a shaila that's asked to me. Someone told me that Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, Rashiv and Tarvidas, just spoke about this shaila. He was apparently asked this shaila, and he spoke about it, but it was on a Shabbos, so I couldn't get a recording of his take on the issue. So we're going to have to present our own take on the issue. So presuming that that's the shaila you choose, but of course it's up to you. So all those who prefer shaila number one, all those who prefer shaila number two, okay, so it looks like shaila number two wins. All right, so obviously shaila number two is not really a shaila, it's not a sugya, it is three sugyas. What are the three sugyas that we need to deal with and need to understand in order to begin to answer shaila number two? Abortion, right? We need to understand how bad abortion is, and particularly for a Ben Noach, right? Particularly for a non-Jew. What else? Sugya number two we need to figure out? Marrying a non-Jew. How bad is marrying a non-Jew? Because, after all, these are the two things that are competing against each other. These are our competing values. This is our, halachic triage that we're dealing with over here. And what's the third issue? Shalom bayis with who? Shimon and the family, okay. Meaning there's like the fifth Shulchan Aruch thing, but I'm saying in Shulchan Aruch, meaning before we get to a fifth Shulchan Aruch, like actual halacha. Is Reuven going to perform the abortion? Lifnei Iver, right? Meaning particularly Lifnei Iver in this instance as it relates to a non-Jew. Meaning he's going to be machshil a nachri in an isser, potentially. Machshil or encouraging a nachri in an isser, and whether that fits a violation of Lifnei Iver. So those are the three issues that we have to talk about. We have to talk about abortion, we have to talk about we have to talk about Lifnei Iver, and we have to talk about intermarriage. Which of those three you want to tackle first? Any preferences? Okay, so we'll start with getting an abortion. Abortion is a huge topic. We'll just give like the basic Rashi Prakim about getting an abortion. And there's really only one bottom line that really, really matters. But for our Shaila, but we'll go through a little bit. There are three sugyas in Shas that I'm aware of that have an impact on the sugya of abortion. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Beis, that quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Alos that you can kill a fetus that's still b'mei imo in order to save the mother's life. But once the fetus sticks its head out, once it's yatzar rosh v'rubo, so then you're no longer allowed to kill the fetus in order to save the mother, because it is no longer considered to be the sole rodev. Right? It's while it's still inside, it is being rodev the mother's life. But once it's out, that no longer applies. So you do see that while it's in, and it's only a matter of abortion, and it's not a matter of actual direct murder, you'd be allowed to do it b'makom pikuach nefesh. You'd be allowed to do it in order to save someone else's life. A second sugya that relates to abortion is the Gemara in the first parak of Meseches Arachin. The Gemara says in Arachin Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, or Erechin, as the Yeshivish way of pronouncing it, is that we don't wait for a pregnant woman to give birth before killing her if she's chayiv mises beis din. Meaning if a woman has to be executed by beis din and she happens to be pregnant, we don't say, well, let's wait till the baby's born. Why kill the baby? Just wait till the baby's born and then kill her. No, we kill her while she's pregnant, knowing full well that that's going to kill the baby as well. And the Gemara is a little troubled by that. You know what the Gemara's kasha on that is? Pshita. Oh. Pshita. That's the Gemara's problem with it, that it's so obvious that that's going to be the case. A third sugya that relates to abortion is Sanhedrin Daf Nun Zayin, where we derive from a pasuk in Parshas Noach, that if a non-Jew kills a fetus, if a non-Jew performs an abortion, he's chayv misa for it. And yet for a Jew, it's an explicit pasuk, he's not chayv misa. So what happens if the woman loses the baby? You pay money. You wouldn't pay money if there was a chiyuv misa had it been done b'mezid, right? Chayv mishogin or pater from mamon also. So the fact that you pay money tells me that a Jew would not be chayv misa for such a thing. Yet a non-Jew, to be fair in the Gemara, based on the pasuk in Parshas Noach, is chayv misa for such a thing. Those are the three major sugyas. How severe is the iser of performing an abortion? So this is a major discussion in Rishonim. Tosos Maseches Nida and Daf Mem Dalet and Beis has a mashmaus that it's actually mutter, but Rav Moshe writes in his Tshuva in Choshe Mishpeche based on the Samach Tes that he can't possibly mean that. He must mean to say putter, that there's no onesh, but not that it's mutter. Now, obviously, for Ben Noach, we know what it is. For Ben Noach, chayv misa. The whole discussion we've shown him is what about for a Yisrael? Even the idea that we have to pay money for something would suggest that it's usher, right? Meaning there's a whole discussion, a whole raid in Achronim. It's everyone's shir psicha to Maseches Baba Kama. Whenever anyone learns Baba Kama, they always have the first shir is always, is there an isser mazik? Right, as Rav Daniel Feldman said it so beautifully once when he spoke in my shul about this, he said, what if you come with your sledgehammer and your checkbook and you you destroy your neighbor's car and then just write a check for what it costs? So did you do anything wrong? Is there an isser mazik and because of the isser you have to pay for it? Or is it, no, the payment's not a function of the isser, it's just a function of the loss that was caused. But maybe there's no isser to be mazik as long as you're willing to pay for it. But generally I think we do assume that there is some sort of isser mazik, and usually if you're going to have to pay for something, it's an indication that what you did was some sort of isser. The Ran in Maseches Chulin Daf Nun Ches sounds like solely a sidrabanan for a Jew to perform an abortion. However, it would seem that it has to be daraisa, because after all, there's a principle of mi'ika midi, that it can't have something that's asr for Ben Noach and is mutter for Yisrael. If it's asr mi daraisa for Ben Noach, to the point that Ben Noach is chayv misa, so it would seem that it's got to be asr mi daraisa for Yisrael as well, and I think that's the general assumption, that doing an abortion needlessly, not to save a woman's life, is or for other major tzorech, everyone agrees is aser, and it seems that it's, it must be nisa daraisa. The Shachma derives that it's nisa in Shemos Perek Lamed Hey, also says that it's aser midaraisa yichayv misa b'dei shemayim, and the question is, the real discussion in the Achronim really is not is it aser, nor even is it aser midaraisa midarabanan, but what is the nature of the aser? Meaning, is it murder or is it something short of murder? Right? What would lead you to believe that it's not murder? That abortion is not murder? What would be the biggest raya? Child's not alive. What?
Child's not alive.
Oh, well, who says? you can do it for pikuach nefesh, right? You're not allowed to commit murder for pikuach nefesh, but you're allowed to do an abortion for pikuach nefesh if it's threatening the mother's life. So that seems to be a pretty big indication. However, the Mishnah clearly distinguishes between this uber b'meyimo versus once the baby's out, and the Gemara assumes that the baby's a rodef, that the baby's being rodef for the mother, and that's why you're allowed to kill the baby. Now, even a real live person, you're allowed to, an adult that's being rodef, you're allowed to kill. So the fact that you could do it for pikuach nefesh is not necessarily a raya that it's not ritzicha. It could be ritzicha, but when you're saving a life by doing it, it's because the child is a rodev. And what changes when the baby comes out is not that now it's going to be an isser ritzicha. It always was an isser ritzicha. It's just that now the baby's not a rodev any more than the mother is. They're being rodev each other. And that's, in fact, how the Rambam formulates it. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rambam Rotzech Shmiras Nefesh, says that Mishahotzi Rosho Ein Nogin Bo Shein Doch Nefesh Mnei Nefesh V'Zeu Tivo Shalolam. It sounds like he holds that it is murder, and that's why he needs to explain that the only reason you're allowed to kill the baby while it's inside is because baby's a rodev. But once the baby's out, the baby's just no longer a rodev. Rashi, however, and the Masech Sanhedrin writes that prior to the baby emerging, lav nefeshu, it's not a nefesh, which seems to imply that it's not an iser ritzicha. Big nafkamina is between Rashi and the Rambam. Is it ritzicha or is it something else? Nafkamina would be, is it yahari gval yavar? Right? If it's an iser ritzicha, so would it be yahari gval yavar? It would be a harik val yavar to perform an abortion. If it's not an iser ritzicha, then obviously it's not your harik val yavar. Not only that, it could be that even shalom b'makom pikuach nefesh would be mutter. If there's some other major tzorech, it might be mutter, depending on what the iser is. B'makom choli, b'makom mental health, other kinds of things that might be a factor. So that begs the question, if it's not ritzicha, so then what is it, if it's not ritzicha? So the Chavos Yair writes in the Tshuva, in Siman Lamed Aleph, it's hashchas hazera. That's a little bit difficult for a number of reasons, but one reason that it's difficult is we generally assume hashchas hazera is a function of Pururvu, and B'nai Noach, Achar Matan Torah, are not mitzuvah in Pururvu. So l'chora they would have an isser of hashchas hazera. The Maharit, in Chelek Aleph, Siman Tzadi Zayin, says that it's an isser of chavala, that a person is not allowed to be chovel themselves, you're not allowed to wound yourself, and you're not allowed to wound other people. So it's an isra of chavala to perform an abortion. Ooh, if it's an isra of chavala, are you allowed to do a chavala if it's going to save you tremendous emotional distress, or it's going to save you tremendous pain, anguish, right? So l'chora, yes, right? Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about a woman getting cosmetic surgery because she has no self-confidence and she's not even functioning properly and she's not able to present herself properly. So if a person really is so mentally anguished, well, let's say they know that the child is ill. They know that they did a sonogram and they know that the baby is very ill, and the baby, the classic case, the old case that they used to discuss was Tay-Sachs. If the baby has Tay-Sachs. So Tay-Sachs is this horrific illness that was mostly in the Ashkenazi Jewish community, and the baby would die between the age of 2 and 5, and its entire existence was absolutely miserable. Its entire existence. So maybe if it's only chavala, you're allowed to do it. If it's ritzicha, you're not allowed to do it. So this is a huge nafkamina. Nowadays, if a baby has Tay-Sachs, it is more likely to be a non-Jew than a Jew, even though it's a Jewish disease, because the Jews wised up to the fact that if both parents are carriers, there's 1 in 4 chance that their kid will have Tay-Sachs, and we started doing genetic testing, and it became universally accepted that we do genetic testing. There's a wonderful organization that was started many, many years ago called Dor Yesharim that tests people before they get married. Now we have other organizations that test for many, many more things, like J-Screen, but at the very least, to test for Tay-Sachs, we always do that. And that, and I once heard an interview with the founder of Dor Yesharim, who said he was in Maimonides Hospital the day they shut down the unit that used to deal with Tay-Sachs. because there was no business anymore. And it was due to his work that there was no business anymore. That's quite an accomplishment, right? You could write your ticket, you know, to Tolum Haba, you know, something like that. You can go out and have a cheeseburger. That's not a psak. You can't actually go out and have a cheeseburger. But, you know, that's quite an accomplishment. There are other suggestions as well. First of all, that Marit, I should mention, is subject to debate. Rav Moshe and his tshuva about abortion. Rav Moshe is very much in the camp that it's mitzicha. And Rav Moshe writes that there's clearly a typo in that Marit, or maybe a forgery in that Marit, and he brings a raya from a Marit to Simanim over, and you know, he develops this whole thing that it's obviously a forgery. That caused a lot of I don't know what the right word is, but Tzitz Eliezer, in his response to Rav Moshe's tshuva, was somewhat incredulous, you know, by that line of reasoning, that Rav Moshe is going to say, because it doesn't conform to what he wants to say, he's going to say that it's a forgery. So Tzitz Eliezer writes, you know, Zelo Haderech Bahalacha, or something like that. So there are members of Rav Moshe's family at Ayom that are still very, very upset at Tzitz Eliezer for speaking at Ki'ilu, he's an equal to Rav Moshe. Tzitz Eliezer was a great, great Talmid Chacham. There was no one that was an equal with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was, you know, they say when Rav Moshe would call Rav Shlomo Zalman, that Rav Shlomo Zalman would stand up and put on his hat. He wasn't FaceTiming him. He didn't see. But that's the kind of cover that they had for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was Mishichmo Lamaila. From everybody else, so they, you know, even if you disagree with him, but you have to speak very, very respectfully of Rav Moshe. Anyway, so the another possibility, Tshuva Beis Shlomo says that it's just any surgical procedure is a sakana for the mother. So that's why you're not allowed to perform an abortion, because you're doing a surgical procedure that's sakana for the mother unnecessarily. Ooh, if that's the whole thing, then when it is necessary, or it is something that's useful for the mother, then it would be mutter. In Nishmas Avraham, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, said that if you hold it's not Ritzicha, which by the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman held it is Ritzicha, but if you hold that it's not, then it would at least be Gneva, because you're not even allowed to steal money from the fetus. Kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to steal the fetus's life. Rav Shlomo Zalman, though, did hold Ritzicha very strongly. Rav Shechter tells the story of a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman was a physician, and one of his patients was suffering severe mental anguish and was pregnant and didn't feel like she was going to be able to handle having a child. And she asked her doctor to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman if she could have an abortion because she just can't handle it. And the doctor called Rav Shlomo Zalman and he said, you know, I have this patient and it's really a nebuch, terrible situation. I really don't know if she's going to be able to handle having this baby. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, what do you want from me? You know I hold it's Ritzicha. So like, if it's not Pikuach Nefesh, then there's nothing I could do. You know, you're not going to get the answer that you want. And the doctor said, I know, Rebbe, I just want you to think about it. Just think about it. And I'll call you back. So there's nothing to think about. I'm not going to change my mind about Ritzicha. You know, there's nothing. Just think about it, and I'll call you back tomorrow. A few hours later, Shlomo Zalman calls back the doctor and he says, "Wait a second. This woman, is her husband a Talmud of mine? Do they live in Shari Chesed? Do they ever ask me any of their other shaylas? No. So tell her there's a rabbi, Rabbi Waldenberg, and here's his phone number, and she should call him and ask the shayla." I mean, he sent her to the Tzitz Eliezer, knowing, obviously, Rav Asher Weiss is in the Tzitz Eliezer camp in terms of abortion, and he's commented a few times to a number of Rabbanim that he feels that that people who never ask him about anything else ask him about this, and like he feels like it's the worst psak to have to give to someone, that they should do an abortion, and he feels like he's become the one that everyone goes to for that psak when that's what they want. But it's something that has to be taken with tremendous kovid rosh. Rav Shechter has told us on a few occasions where these things have come up, that even if you hold its mutter, you have to be so, so careful before you advise someone or before you pass them for someone that they should do it, because the guilt that they're likely to live with for the rest of their life is it could be overwhelming, could be crushing for them. He said he's seen cases where people got a heter, they did an abortion, and then it totally ripped apart their marriage. Husband and wife couldn't respect each other anymore, they couldn't look each other in the eye, they were living with such guilt, it totally tore apart the rest of their lives. So it's not something that's taken lightly, l'chaladeus, right? No one takes this lightly. The question is it Ritzicha or is it not Ritzicha? Again, if it's Ritzichut Yarim Gal Yavar, of Unterman had a Shaila where he was asked about a girl who was a Nazi, was Ma'anes, a Jewish girl, and she was now pregnant with a Nazi's child. And the Nazi didn't want to have a Jewish kid, he didn't want to pay yeshiva tuitions, so he told the doctor that if you don't do an abortion on this child, on this baby, I'm going to kill you. So is the doctor allowed to do an abortion? Says Mamash says Shaila, is it an Abizrayu Shvichus Dan? At least an Abizrayu Shvichus Dan would be a Har Gal Yavar. Rav Unterman happened to have been Mekil in that case. Minchas Chinuch says something similar in Mitzvah Reis Hadivav. He says the svar of my chazis to Dama Didach Sumak Tfei doesn't apply to an abortion. Dama Didach is Sumak Tfei because you're a person living in this world. I mean, again, to summarize, there is no doubt that abortion is usur for everybody, Jew and non-Jew alike. The question is what exactly the nature of the usur is, and based on what the nature of the usur is, what might the exceptions be? What might, you know, is it only b'makom pikuach nefesh of the mother, or might there be more exceptions? That's the whole machlokas. There is no machlokas whether it's mutter or asr. And for Ben Noach, it's a beferish gemara, chayiv misa. So stage one of the shir is done. Oh, we only have 9 minutes left. Stage one is done, right? That it's chayiv misa, right? That's very clear. Let's get to stage two. Lifnei iver, as it applies to a non-Jew. So is there lifnei iver on a non-Jew? It's a Gemara. In the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah, the Gemara tells us, Minayin shelo yoshet adam kol shel yayin lenazir, ve'ever min achai lebnei Noach, tamalomar lifnei iver l'sitin michshol. You cannot give ever min achai to a ben Noach to eat, because that's a violation of lifnei iver l'sitin michshol. Open and shut case, it absolutely applies to getting a non-Jew to do an Aveira. So put two and two together. If it's usher to be machshil a non-Jew in an isser, and a non-Jew does an abortion, is chayv misa. So by encouraging a non-Jew to get an abortion, you are being machshel them, or at least encouraging them to do this isser, and that is usher for us to do. The Ritva assumes that it's nisa daraisa to be machshel a guy. There's a tshuvas pnei Yeshua, who, if I'm not mistaken, is not the pnei Yeshua al-Shas. I think it's his grandfather. A tshuvas pnei Yeshua that says that it's only nisa midrabanan, but all the achronim rejected, meaning that the lifneiver of causing a guy to do an isser is only lifneiver midrabanan, but I think all the achronim typically reject it. You know, there's a famous chakira. Yad Malachi discusses, what if you try to encourage someone to do an isser and they don't do it in the end? Did you violate lifnei iver? Right? So the chakira that all the acharim say is lifnei iver an isser klali or an isser prati? Meaning when I try to get you to do to wear shatnis, so is it that I violated part of the isser of shatnis, like I have a chelek in your isser, or is it that no, I violated a separate thing called lifnei iver having nothing to do with your isser of shatnis? And this is one of the nafkaminas. What if you never did the isser? So I have a partnership of chelik and what? You didn't do an aveira. But if you did the isser, if you did the isser, then I don't have a chelik in the aveira. But if you hold that it's just a separate isser of trying to encourage aveiros, so then maybe even if the guy doesn't do the isser, it would be an aveira of lifnei either. But the main thing over here, as far as whether this applies to a non-Jew, and when I asked Rav Shachter the Shaila, this is what he focused on. Both the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam, when they formulate the Isra of Lifnei Iver, make it very clear that it's an Isra for a Jew to cause it to be Machshil a Jew, which is very, very strange, because it's beferish in the Gemara that it's an Isra to be Machshil a Goy also. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis, Lo Lahachshil B'nei Yisrael not to be machshel b'nei Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvot, say Reish Sadi Tes, his hironu mehachshel k'tzaseinu as k'tzaseinu be'etzah she'eino agenes. That there's an isser for some of us to be machshel some of us. Makes sound like it's all Jews, that there's no isser by a guy. So Minchas Chinuch is very bothered by this. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that the isser of lifnei iver by a guy as well. So Minchas Chinuch suggests, although he doesn't like it, but he suggests, you know, there are two isurim of lifnei iver. There's an isur not to cause someone to do an aveira, and there's an isur not to give an etzah she'eino agenes, not to give bad advice. If you know that a stock is about to tank, and you advise someone to buy that stock purposely, knowing that they're going to lose money, that's also lifnei iver. It's not an avera for them to buy the stock, but that's lifnei iver. It's your avera to give them that advice. So says the Minchas Chinuch, likely what the Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch mean, is that when it comes to, what did the Gemara say? There's lifnei iver on a guy. If you give him iver minachai, when you provide a guy with the ability to do an iser, that's lifnei iver midoraisa. But if you just give bad advice to a guy, that's only lifnei iver, that's not lifnei iver at all. Right? It's only lifnei iver when it's the kind of lifnei iver where you're getting them to do an aveira. But if you're just giving them bad advice, that would not be a violation of lifnei iver. That's what Minchas Chinuch suggests. He doesn't like it because it's all one pasuk. So if the pasuk is talking about, right, lifnei iver lo siten mitzvah, what does the word iver mean? If iver means Jew or non-Jew alike, so both of the halachas of lifnei iver should apply. So he doesn't like it, but that's what Minchas Chinuch suggests. Rav Elchanan, Kovit Shurim, Mimsech Pesachim, suggests a svara for this. It doesn't, meaning he doesn't have an answer for the pasuk, but he suggests a svara, why there would be a difference. And he says that, why is, you know, we categorize all mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is either ben adam l'chavero or ben adam l'makom. The Gra has a third category, ben adam l'atzmo, but we're going to leave that aside for now. There's ben adam l'chavero or ben adam l'makom. Every issue. What's lifnei iver? Is it ben adam l'chavero or ben adam l'makom? So if you get someone to do an avera, what's that? That's ben adam l'makom. I mean, you're getting him to do against the ratzon Hashem. If you just give someone bad advice and cause them to lose money because of your bad advice, what's that? Ben adam l'chavero. Says Rav Elchanan, ben adam l'makom applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. Whatever is causing a chisaron ben adam l'makom is causing more averus to be done in the world. That's ben adam l'makom. That's going to apply to Jew and non-Jew alike. Giving Eivir Menachai to Ben Noach is awesome. Ben adam l'chavero doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. We don't have Yisurim ben Adam l'chavero to Bnei Noach, or Mitzvos ben Adam l'chavero to Bnei Noach. Stealing is an exception. Right? Machlokas, whether it's Dorais or Drabanan, but everyone agrees that it's awesome. So, but you don't have Mitzvah Bikur Cholim, you don't have a Mitzvah of Halva Yisameis, you don't have a Mitzvah of anything, or Chnas Zorchim for Bnei Noach. So it says Rav Elchanan, because Ben Adam Chaver, Ben Adam Chaver doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. Ooh. So over here, is this really lifnei iver? If you're encouraging this woman to get an abortion, can she do it without you? She could do it without you, right? So it's not really lifnei iver d'oraisa from the Avera perspective, because she could do the Avera without your help. So that would only be on a Drabanan level. But it's definitely bad advice. Because you're encouraging her to get rid of a child that she's carrying when everything's healthy, and you're encouraging her to do an Avera. So every time you encourage someone to do an Avera, it's also bad advice. So you're giving her bad advice. But maybe that doesn't apply to a Ben Noach. Maybe I'm allowed to give bad advice to a Ben Noach. So maybe we have a heter over here. Because I'm allowed to give from the perspective of the Avera, it's Chana Bredinara, the person who's able to do the Avera without me. From the perspective of bad advice, it's a guy. So Rav Shachter thought that's totally incorrect. It sounded compelling for a second there, right? Rav Shachter thought that's totally incorrect. He says, Rav Shachter said, and this fits into a much larger theme that he's developed many times. He said, you know, when we say that there's no Ben Al-Machaver by Ben Noach, he said, that's within reason. That means that, like, for example, the mashal he gave is, if you're a kindergarten teacher, and there's a four-year-old who's just an absolute mazik, he's a wild kid, and whatever. So, Chafetz Chaim writes, you're not allowed to tell people that kid's a mazik. You know, let's speak Lashon Hara about the kid. In 20 years, he's going to be looking for a shidduch, and someone's going to say, ah, I remember the mora in kindergarten saying that kid was a mazik, whatever. You're not allowed to do that. For a guy, you're allowed to do that. If the four-year-old's a guy, you're allowed to say something like that. But can you go on social media and just totally destroy a non-Jew's business by making up stories or whatever, or just by speaking Lashon Hara? You can't do that. You can't destroy a person, even for Ben Noach. And I think what he meant, it was a fast conversation, but I think what he meant is an idea that Rashad says over from Rosh Halvejik all the time, that Ben Adam L'Chaver was based on a notion of reciprocity. That Ben Adam L'Chaver was based on the idea that I have to behave toward you the way you are supposed to behave toward me. So Jews are family, and Jews therefore have to go way out of our way for each other. And therefore, that's if you are going to go way out of your way for me, I have to reciprocate. But Noach, that we're shared humanity, so we have to be decent. We have to be good and decent people. But we don't have to treat them like family. We don't have to go out of our way. And therefore, okay, a little lashon hara about a four-year-old, kanahug, by B'nai Noach also, that they don't refrain from saying things like that about each other. And I don't expect them to refrain from saying things like that. But to destroy me? That they can't do. So Rav Shach said, I think this is mamish lifnei there. Because this isn't just, you know, lashon hara about a four-year-old. This is destroying a person. So he thought that this would be lifnei iver daraisa. So we didn't get into how bad intermarriage is. Let's just assume intermarriage is the worst. What exactly the avera is a very interesting question. Well, the minhag used to be people would sit shiva for intermarriage. It's the worst. It's horrible. As far as what the poskim said about this, so it's interesting. I didn't speak to Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, but someone who was at the shir said that he wasn't sure, but he was not lahakel on this issue. He thought it was indirect enough that it's not lifnei iver. I asked Rav Willig Shlita about this, and Rav Willig every once in a while will, sometimes he'll talk through the Pesach with you, talk through the Halach, and every once in a while he'll just say, this is it, don't ask any more questions. So I asked him this, he said, Mutter, and I will never tell you why. So I'm like, well, why? Oh, you know, I thought, no, Mutter. I asked Rav Shach said absolutely awesome. He said it's lifnei iver. So those are our three opinions for the week. Thank God it was not a shayla that was asked to me, but heartbreaking shayla, terrible shayla, but a fascinating topic in halacha. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.